Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WON Radio's The Method and the Muse, where we dig deep into a topic with an author to uncover the secrets to good writing and find out what inspires them. I'm your host, Sherry Wilds. Today's topic is making murder funny, or how to infuse humor into the macabre. And our author today is Kathleen Cosgrove. Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for having me here. This is fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a blast. Okay. Just want to tell you a little bit about yourself. Don't you need to know some things about yourself?
Yeah, right. I've written a couple of humorous mystery novels. The mm-hmm. first is Engulfed. The second is Entangled. Just getting ready to start promoting that one. I do a few memoirs around town in Nashville, storytelling memoirs, and that's it.
Well, and you can find more information about Kathleen. It's available on the episode page. There is a buy link as well as that can be found there. You can also check out our Method and the Muse page on www.writersonlinenetwork.com, where there's also a buy link and a link to Kathleen's website. And so that is fabulous. Now, Kathleen, I was going to tell you about you.
Oh, okay. Jumping in is kind of what I'm
doing. Well, Kathleen Cosgrove lives currently in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, but spent the last 30 years of her life in Miami, Florida, where having a sense of humor is nothing short of a survival skill. Her wit is deeply rooted in the absurd. I can testify to that from our conversation a few minutes ago. And the wild characters she creates may seem unbelievable to the rest of the country, but are your typical neighbors there in Florida. While her novels, Engulfed and Entangled, are set in Southwest Florida, their overall theme of it's never too late to live your dream is universal, as is her protagonist, Maggie Flynn, and she teaches us that. This is based on Kathleen's own experience beginning her writing career at the Big 50. And some of her reviewers compare her unique style to those of Janet Ivanovich and Carl Hyacin, and with a unique voice that is unmistakably her own brand of funny. As she said, she's got short stories and essays, and actually was in last week's The Scene in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And what was the article you wrote for them?
The Nashville Scene published in their Vodka Yannick column, my story, Bad Grandmas, being the next in the line of oversexed women.
Okay.
That's how my mother gave me the talk.
Okay.
I was the next in line of the long line of oversexed women. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I read that one, and it was very funny.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
That was a lot of fun. And just real quick, her book Engulfed, what made you decide to start the book out with a private man's body part being played with by a raccoon in a bird bath?
Because when is a man's body part being played with in a bird bath by a raccoon not funny?
That's just right. Lends
itself to humor.
That's right.
And I'm sorry to all the men out there who are at this very moment crossing their legs and cringing, but it's funny. I'm sorry. And I thought, well, it would grab the reader's attention. So, and it's kind of very, very Maggie Finn. Maggie Finn goes through life with things like that happening to her. Mm-hmm. And so to introduce the world of Maggie Finn, there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Maggie Finn, our protagonist, that certainly is funny, but also someone that a lot of us can identify with once we've hit the big 50 and maybe want to try something new. I think that's neat.
Well, and it's kind of why I wanted to. I like the idea of people who are over 50 going out and still having fun. We are. We just don't always come across that way in books and art and literature. We're always the ones at home, you know, making a pot roast or the unreliable witness, you know, or the murder victim even, you know. But we're never the ones that are just out there doing all the things that that the younger protagonists do in novels. And I said, you know, no fair. Because that's in reality, we are still out there doing fun things and having a great time, and you know, getting ourselves into trouble, and so that's why I wanted to write Maggie Finn at the age she is, living the life she is.
Okay. Well, have you always been a funny lady?
not intentionally, but I was the butt of a lot of humor. But I did come. My family was pretty funny. My dad and my brother would have us cracked up at the table so much that we couldn't even eat our dinner. We'd always be laughing. But I've always enjoyed humor above everything else. Even comic books were not superhero ones; they were Archie comic books. Mm-hmm. And living in Miami, I was fortunate enough at the Miami Herald. Dave Barry was a columnist mm-hmm. there, so I read Dave Barry like other kids read Archie comic books. I've just always been drawn to humor in everything. Yeah.
So you were a funny lady even when you weren't a lady, like when you were 2, 3.
Yeah, right.
You're a funny baby. Funny.
I'm not the baby funny lady.
And so it sounds like that you grew up with a funny family, and that certainly helps lay that groundwork.
When your mother tells you you come from a long line of oversex women, yeah, you come from a funny family, right?
From a very, very funny family. Oh, that is true. Well, let's get in a little bit more of the technical end for the method part of our show.
Sure.
And talk a little bit about writing humor. I know if you dissect it too much, maybe it's not funny, but we're going to risk that just a little bit to help our authors that are listening to figure out ways to infuse some humor in most any work that it would be appropriate. And I would argue almost any work needs a little bit of relief.
It really does. It really does. I read a book recently, The Martian, by, I can't remember his first name, somebody Weir. And, he's trapped on Mars and trying to get off Mars. And it's still full of humor. And, mm-hmm. There's not too many books that can't benefit from a light moment. I mean, mm-hmm. you just got to have a light moment. But don't try to be funny if you're not. If you're just not funny, if you're the person who never gets the joke, you know, you probably aren't a good, you know, you stick with what you're good at. But anybody can put a little bit of lightness and humor into it. There's a code that I live by, and somebody else wrote it, not me. Any violation of continuity, logic, physics, or common sense is permissible if the result gets a laugh. I find that true in real life as well as in literature.
Yeah.
And if you're writing a drama, and obviously mine is over the top, my stories are meant to be over the top, funny. You don't expect these things to actually happen to any one person. You meet these people exactly as they are. Everything is a bit of an exaggeration. It's the type of humor that I write. Some people write a more subtle type of humor. It can be just really witty repartee between two characters, like in the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. You know, they're obviously, you know, stopping Moriarty from killing everyone in the world. But, mm-hmm. you know, but the banter and the witty repartee between the two of them lightens the whole thing, and it's kind of a threat, and it kind of makes you like the characters more if you can see them being vulnerable and funny and having a sense of humor. Because we all want to be with somebody who makes us laugh.
Right, definitely. And we have a note here that it's Andy Weir, W-E-I-R.
Oh, Andy Weir.
Thank you. Right out there. I've heard the quote, levity is the opposite of gravity.
Oh.
And I like that one, and I wish I knew to attribute that to. You can infuse humor in a lot of different kind of ways, and I know you were a presenter at Killer Nashville. Tell us just a moment briefly what Killer Nashville is. It's similar to other types of conferences I know in Florida and around the country, but tell us what that is, and then tell us some things that will help us that you spoke about.
Oh, Killer Nashville is an amazing conference that's held here annually. People come from literally all over the world to attend. I think we had, I won't give a number because I'm not sure of the exact number, but it's very well attended. And it's for mystery writers, people who like to read mysteries. And there are different tracks like panelists discussing best ways to write your novel, panelists discussing the forensics. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation sets up a crime scene. there are publicists and agents who go over, panels go over how the best ways to get a publisher or an agent to look at your work, what kind of thing they're looking for. That's really helpful for anybody interested in that genre at all, or in producing books, reading those books, or just likes, you know, forensics and police procedurals and things like that. It's a 3-day conference, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's at the Omni. It's going to be Halloween weekend this year. And I spoke on the panel a couple of years, one on oddball characters. And I like to think it's because I write about oddball characters, not necessarily because I am an oddball character, but oddball characters, which my books are kind of unique for. My books have loads of oddball characters in them. And so I spoke about that. And humor in writing, I sat on panels with some of my favorite humor writers, Don Bruns, Michael Gilbro, Heather Haven, Larissa Reinhart, Lindy Walker. Check out some of those people if you can, if we can put them on the website, because you, humor, those are different types of humor that you will find in mysteries. And if you like your mysteries with a little humor, you can't go wrong with those authors. So we discussed some of the different rules of writing humor. One of those is like, and I use the example from Dick Van Dyke, and the rule of threes, where I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the Dick Van Dyke Show, but Dick Van Dyke wrote for a TV show, and his boss was bald-headed, and he came in and he asked them, can I get you anything, coffee, donut, a toupee? Mm-hmm. And so it's the third thing that everything comes in threes, and it's the third thing that's kind of one of these kids is not like the others, the one thing that's kind of different. And so that was just one of the things that we hit on. I have a little example. Can I read one from? Okay.
What is it from? Which one of your
books? This is one from Entangled. And, I'm sorry, this is from Engulf. And Maggie Finn has gone out and had to buy some T-shirts at a T-shirt shop because she and the two men that she were with had gotten drenched in the rain. And they walk back in. She's giving them their T-shirts, and he says, you know, I don't know what surprises me the most. The fact that there is such a thing as a SpongeBob camouflage T-shirt, or that you bought one. No, not one, two of them. They were buy one, get one free, I said. Brian and I look like we're going steady. We look like two simple-minded gay deer hunters. And then she responds, you don't look at all like deer hunters. So that's kind of like another rule of three. It's the three things. Oh, yeah, well, you don't. Yeah, obviously, you still look simple-minded and gay, just not like a deer hunter. Mm-hmm. So try to keep it in threes. All the gags coming in threes. That's another good rule for what were you arrested for? Arson, murder, no jaywalking, that kind of thing. That's always kind of a good rule in writing comedy.
Okay. Were there any other points that you wanted to share with us that have helped you when you're trying to infuse some humor in a serious situation?
I think if you are taking a regular character and then just adding more. I have a character in Entangled, Blowhole Bob. And he's Blowhole Bob is just could be your typical everyday character at a marine park, but I just made him more obnoxious. You know, I gave him rude things to say. I gave him funny clothes to wear. I gave him a little saying that he said all the time. So you just take a character that could be somebody that you meet on the street and then just keep adding on and adding on and adding on. And pretty soon you've got a character, a real-life character, who will start speaking to you in the way that you've designed him. So you put the clothes on him. You've given him the look. You've given him the attitude. And all of a sudden he's going to start speaking, mm-hmm. he's going to start telling you what feels right for him to say. Mm-hmm. And so I find that developing my characters and even making them a little bit over the top, sometimes they'll come back and reward you with some pretty hilarious things that they'll say you never would have thought of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Your character, Maggie Fan, your book is in first person, so it's from her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, do you see her more as the straight man, so to speak, of the craziness going around, or is she part of the humor, or how do you see her?
Maggie is the straight man. With everyone around her, but she encourages it. Mm-hmm. She's not afraid to just get in there and dig a little bit deeper, find out what, you know, you and I might walk away from a crazy character, but she doesn't. She embraces the crazy character. She goes along for rides with them. She invites them into her home. So she may be the straight man, but she's like the magnet also, mm-hmm. and she's drawing all the crazy to her. And fools go where angels fear to tread, that's what Maggie does. She's a fool who goes where angels fear to tread. So she may be the straight man with everyone crazy around her, but she's definitely magneting them to her.
Okay, good. I know that you are working currently on a small piece that's a parody. Tell me a little bit about that and what it's like to write a parody of some classic work.
My Sam Hart, based on Sam Spade. Those of you who may not be familiar with Philip Marlowe, Sam Spade, the works of Dashiell Hammett, and Sam Spade is a Dashiell Hammett character, and he's a detective, a film noir or a noir character, I've taken him and written a parody or a send-up of that character in that genre. And then again, like I said, just amped it up some. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. He's quite literal. When the dame walks through the door, you know, she was shaped like a real shapely dame. And she had golden, blonde, silky hair that looked like gold silk. You know, she's very literal. And the characters around him speak in parody of that particular noir style. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a lot of fun with those. I'm going to put them together in a collection as well because he's just a lot of fun to write and seems to get a good response from people. So in doing that, I read a lot of those noir-type novels. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find myself, when I'm reading them, thinking they almost sound like a parody because they're mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. dated, but it's great. It's fun. It almost lends itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody who has seen The Maltese Falcon or The Big Sleep or one of those mm-hmm. bogey movies, think of Humphrey Bogart. That's what I'm talking about, and it's pretty fun.
Well, I want to do another quick promotion of you just in case people missed it earlier. More information about Kathleen is available on the Method in the Muse episode page. The buy link as well can be found there, and you can check it out on www.writersonlinenetwork.com. It's the Method in the Muse page where there is a buy link and a link to Kathleen's website. So if you want buy one of her wonderful books. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the real-life stories that you have written and performed, because Kathleen not only writes it and then somebody reads it in the privacy of their home, she also has gotten up on stage and read some of her pieces for various venues around town. Tell us about some of those and kind of how that's maybe a little different. Type of writing.
I grew up in a time when I'm a baby boomer, and when you look back at those days now, they seem kind of simple, but we actually grew up in a very turbulent age. We were teenagers during, you know, civil rights and the Vietnam War, and and a lot of things were happening. The Beatles came to town, and so a lot of stuff was going on, and I wanted to write about it, but because, like I said, I try to find the humor and everything. All my stories are about growing up during those years, but my own take on them. And so I write them. The one of that's in the Nashville scene, the talk that my mother gave me. I performed that at a storytelling venue called That Time of the Month, hosted by Melanie Vare. It's actually going to be at Zany's
in Nashville.
Yeah, in Zany's in Nashville. Next month, and the shows have been performed at Cafe Coco in Nashville and Tin Cup in Nashville, and so I write about that. Written about growing up a little bit hard of hearing in those days, and the duck and cover days, and I have a one I've just written. That I will, she'll be performing soon. About I went to boyfriend land and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. So it wasn't all about in the past, but it's about even these days, growing up now, being my age, single, that kind of thing. So yeah, it spans my whole life, and in what I hope is a very funny way that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those stories are true. I know for that time of the month, they have to be true stories.
Oh, they are definitely true stories. Yeah, yes. That makes it even more hilarious.
Yes.
Like Maggie Finn, I tend to, you know, go where angels fear to tread. And so some of the repercussions didn't seem funny at the time, but in retrospect, they are pretty funny. And when I can write about them and everybody, we can all laugh at them together. It makes it you know, makes it a lot of fun.
Right. Let's shift a little bit to the muse portion of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if anyone would like to call in, you're welcome to. It's 1-917-889-8080 and ask Kathleen a question related to our topic of humor and the murder or something around that topic. But moving to the muse portion, tell me, when you are getting ready to write, do you have a ritual? Do you have a place? What does it look like when you're writing?
I'm fortunate. I live in Murfreesboro, but it's a very country setting, so it's very quiet there. I can open my door and see horses and llamas and things, so that's very nice. And I can take walks there. And I think taking walks is essential to creativity. I don't know how people can create if they can't walk around. I find that really essential. And I used to walk with listening to audiobooks, but I find I'm far more creative if I've come in from a walk and it's just been quiet, and I'm just inside there with my own head. And so I can't go a day without a walk, because then I can't create unless I've been on a walk. And the same holds true for driving in the car. I'm driving in the car. I don't put the radio on or anything, and I just let my brain ramble around. And it comes with most of my creative thoughts when I'm by myself and it's quiet. I write. I'm most creative at night, so I'll write at night, edit in the morning. I'm hilarious at night. I'm not so hilarious in the morning. So at night, everything seems funny to me. In the morning, I'm like, what was I thinking? And so, yeah, I write. I get most of my creative writing done at night. And then in the cold light of morning, after a couple of cups of coffee, then the red pen comes out figuratively. I'm on a computer. But a lot of people can write on pen and paper. I can't. I have to be on my computer in my house. I can't go to Starbucks or Panera like a lot of people can do. I can't do that. I have to be at home in my little space, my little nest, to write.
To figure out your characters, are you a people watcher, or are these just people you've known in the past, or do you sometimes just sit back and watch
really
people at Starbucks?
Really create them out of whole cloth.
Okay.
I do. A lot of times I'll just get names. I collect names. I was out to dinner with some people, and our server's name was his last name was Frittata, which I thought was a great last name.
That's a great last name.
And so I asked about his name and his parents' names and whatever, and I got Radu Frittata and Sabina Rattata. And And I thought, well, people with that name, what would they be like?
Yes.
And so I kind of just created people based on the name.
Mm-hmm.
And or, you know, just an amalgam of people that I know. Like one, my character in Tangled is a Vietnam veteran. And he has a little bit of PTSD. And but he grew up, you know, during that time. And so all the things that he brought with him, based on a lot of people that I know and the guys that I grew up with, and they just kind of merged them all together into one. But, yeah, they just all come out of my head.
Well, you've talked a little bit about, you know, your plan for writing and where you write. Have you ever, since you started writing at 50, and so you've only been writing, what, 6 months?
Yeah, right.
Have you ever experienced a period of writer's block, the infamous writer's block? It's like the shanks for golfers, I guess, where it's like
mm-hmm.
a curse and you feel it and it's like, how do you get out of it?
I have. And, you know, life doesn't always cooperate with you wanting to be creative. Life gets in, life happens, and it should, and you draw from that. But it also can hamper you time-wise to be able to write. And it can also interfere with some of your creativity if, you know, bad things do happen in the world of everyone, including writers.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, and especially if you're writing comedy, it's really hard to feel funny when things around you are not. So you learn to roll with the punches. But I've told myself I'm not going to have any 0 days. So if I can't be creative that day, if I'm not feeling funny, if I'm not feeling creative, then I will edit. I'll read a funny novel that kind of will get me in the mood, or watch a funny movie or a TV show or something like that. But no 0 days. And, you know, you can say, oh, watching a funny movie, that's not really, you know. But if you look at it with an eye to, you know, what's making that funny? Why am I laughing?
Mm-hmm.
Why did the writer do that? So if you can do that, even if you can't be creative, you can be still working. So no 0 days,
especially
when you're over 50, you can't afford any 0 days.
Every day should be
at least 100. Right,
you got to do it. Uh-huh. Well, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Well, it looks like maybe 4.
Uh-huh.
And enough time maybe to delve into that a little bit more about the muse part. And,
mm-hmm.
and when the writer's block hits and you say no 0 days, do you allow yourself to, say, watch a movie for many, many days, or do you finally say, okay, I have to write something about
it? I don't have 3 or 4 0 days. I mean, 3 or 4 days of just, you know, watching a movie or reading a book or something. I'll do that for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Another day I might edit, but then I've got to get in there and be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always you know, when they say there's a writer's block, just go ahead and write. And that,
mm-hmm.
and I find that to be very true. Just write. Just sit there and write.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. I was sitting there. My granddaughter, Haley, said to me one time, I just don't know where to go. And she, being probably 8 or 9 at the time, said to me, oh, you should bring in a mean girl. And I'm like, you know, it's almost like, you know,
she's
saying, you're bringing a gun,
yes.
You know. Well, I'm going to bring it. Oh, I was like, oh, yeah. And I have this really great character. And she's, you know, we think she's mean, and she's in Entangled. And we end up liking her at the end, but in the beginning. And I was like, so just bring in something. Try something, even if it's a character
mm-hmm.
you're not going to use, or a situation
mm-hmm.
where you're not going to use, or bring in a gun, or kill somebody off, or
anything.
Do something.
Yeah.
Right. And usually if you're in a bad mood, if somebody's made you that way, kill that person off.
Yeah.
It's very cathartic. You have to go ahead and just kill off somebody
mm-hmm.
that you don't like in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
So it does help with the writer's block just to write.
That's
write anything, even if you're not going to save it, write it.
Right. Well, I think that is true. Just work through it and keep going.
Uh-huh.
I want to thank you, Kathleen. This has been a pleasure. I knew it would. And be sure and pick up Kathleen's books. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us, whether you're joining us live or listening to the archived version of The Method and the Muse. I'm your host, Sherry Wilds, signing off.
please check out www.writersonlinenetwork.com and find out what you can do with the network around you. Thank you all for joining us, and please pick up Kathleen's book because it's a hoot, and no one can make murder as funny as Kathleen these days, and especially in Florida. That makes it even better.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I've had a ball.
All right. Thank you.